Sure.
Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culkin, meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's April 10th, approximately 11:45, for the administration portion of our biweekly commission meeting. I have no opening comments. Commissioner Christman or Commissioner Fedorcher?
I have none.
Okay. With that, there are a few items on consent. I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
I would like to, on the number two item, is there any way we can not concede to that?
Mr. Berg's resignation, we certainly can, Commissioner.
For the record, I choose to not concede on that, but allow him to move forward with his exciting plans.
Very well, then. Make an admin note of that, Darrell.
I made an admin note on that. We have a motion and second. Are there further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and Julie brought it out, Jim, but Mike's last day is when again?
The 26th
of? Friday. Okay. And I'm sure you'll let us know if you're going to have something upstairs that we should stop by, huh?
Mike's here once.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jim. Okay, discussion with the commission. Sue, you've got the LLC, IPI LLC update.
Yes, and I just, excuse me, wanted to let the commission know that the two items that were noted on the memorandum of adjustment have both been addressed. The use of unlicensed space was taken care of immediately, and we have received copies to show proof of payment on all the delinquent past unpaid accounts.
So, Sue, I mean, it's good they fixed all these problems, but is there something else we should do? Because this was pretty far outside the box.
Well, it was quite significant, and I provided you with a copy of what their receivables and their payables were, and the receivables were sufficient to cover those payables. If they hadn't been, staff may have recommended filing a staff complaint with the commission.
Okay.
If the commission feels that you want to do more.
Well, I don't know about that. It seems to me that we should have something somewhere from us to them saying we didn't like this and it's on file for if this happens again, so we don't find ourselves in an earth harvest mill state for some of these. Or are we done enough with what we've done now that sets that stage?
Well, Mike McNamee was the inspector, and he is planning on visiting them on a monthly basis
until
he is confident that they are complying and that they are staying in compliance. And then after the monthly, we continue to do regular. He will continue to make regular stops there. So, if anything shows up, they have been told that it is very likely that staff would be in favor of filing a staff complaint.
Okay.
So they need to mind their P's and Q's. And
if we file a staff complaint, what does that trigger?
We do an investigation on it then.
Well, they
have to come up with steps that they have to fix or else something.
Right. They would have an opportunity, more than likely have a hearing and, you know, or I guess they could handle it probably without a hearing and have an opportunity to explain why.
Right.
What happened, and the steps that they've taken to take care of it, and how they would intend to proceed. If the commission wants to send a formal letter, I would be willing to draft one.
Do we know when their license will be coming up?
All licenses, theirs included, will expire on July 31st. So we should be making April, May, June, at least three or possibly four visits to this site before license renewal comes up.
Right. Okay.
I thought it was comfortable. I mean, it was significant. I thought two things. They were given 2 weeks to come into compliance, and they were able to do that. One was they were able to increase their bond by more than $100,000 the very next day. And the other thing that I thought was comforting is in less than a week's time or approximately a week's time, I think it took 2 weeks till they actually got the signatures, and then that they had a little bit of of work to do on each of the deliveries. I think that there were some computer things that had glitches that had to be taken care of, but they were able to come up with a $750,000 increase in their credit line within like a week period of time, which I thought shows a positive thing for the company.
No, and I agree with all that, Sue, but it's just that they should have did that before our guys showed up. I mean, all this stuff should have been in place, and it's good our inspectors are doing their job, but this is one of those that I'm glad we're doing more inspections, because all those things that were wrong shouldn't have been wrong.
That's probably always the case when we find things that are wrong.
Right, but this is big. This was bigger than normally, just one or two things out of whack.
It was a significant amount.
But I see your point. That's the goal of inspectors.
Well, we found the problems, they fixed the problems, we're doing follow-up. That seems to be appropriate and probably.
Agreed.
So, like I said, if anything does show up, we will.
Let us know.
Let you know immediately.
All right. Randy, do you have anything? No? Okay. Thank you, Sue. Mr. Fawn wants to talk about him taking on the FCC.
When I added this to the agenda, I included in the email a copy of what I intended to file with the FCC if the commission agrees, and that is to notify them. This is that broadband mapping, or not broadband, but a exchange boundary mapping project that we've been talking about that's being worked with through ITD with the local exchange companies. And as part of it, the state can participate and file the data on behalf of the companies, resolve any discrepancies in boundaries before that information is sent in, and then we certify it to the FCC. We have to notify the FCC if we intend to do that. And this is a draft of what we could send to the FCC to notify them. Did you get a look at it?
Mm-hmm.
We have it. Yep, we got it, Pat.
It's here.
You have it? Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking to see if that's what the commission wants.
I'm sure it's the same. It's not a reversion. Revision.
A little bit, but nothing's substantive.
Okay. Well, Pat, you and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, maybe just some more background that the FCC has a unique relationship with the states where they don't tell us what they do, but they often suggest to us strongly what they'd like us to do. And this is kind of one of those deals right now where we're following through with some of the guidance they put out there. But it's probably good for us to do this because we get involved early, we tell the FCC what we're going to do, and then hopefully the companies and everyone get their boundaries worked out. But if they don't, we might be having hearings to determine boundaries. That's the follow-through to where this is going, correct?
Right.
But my understanding is we're not stepping on the local exchange carriers. They're happy with us doing this, correct?
Correct, correct.
Yeah, they actually, I think, prefer us to be in the step like we're doing right now.
Do we anticipate disputes over boundaries? How often do they have
to
do this?
Not.
Every year? Every.
This is new.
Few years?
I mean, the boundaries have been, the companies have been in business for years,
yeah.
And you would think the boundaries would match up, and there would be no discrepancies. But when I get back to my office, I will forward you the one that has been found already a discrepancy, so you can get a look at how they're mapping those discrepancies, and then and how they're going to deal with it before it comes to the commission. They will try to get the companies together, and. In a web conference, and deal with the companies will visit and try to work out the discrepancies, and the commission can listen in on that first web conference to see how that's going to work.
Would we always have to negotiate or be kind of the liaison on a boundary dispute? That's our role.
Normally,
or are we doing
be.
That because we're coordinating this?
Well, I think it's kind of like we just
mapping.
Did those service area agreements for power. This is maybe an extension of that. If there's disagreement,
we issue certificates of public convenience and necessity to the incumbent local exchange companies, and part of that is the boundary for the company, the service area boundary. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the commission does have that jurisdiction to approve those boundaries, and if they're changing, we would have to approve the changed boundaries.
I predict what we're going to see here is, a lot of these carriers are 60 years old or so, and over the years things develop in some rural area where, you know, there's one farm family and, you know, they wish they were in the neighboring telephone exchange because then it wouldn't be long distance to all the people that they call regularly. And it's one customer and both co-ops want to make them happy. So maybe a section of land is transferred to the neighboring exchange. And they don't look at it as really being anybody's concern much except theirs. So maybe one of them files the change with us and the other doesn't. And it gets forgotten. And 3 decades later, here it comes and they're both claiming that section of land. So even though there's not a dispute, when it's all laid out on a map, we're going to have these things that we have to go back and find out who actually serves the area and who doesn't. But I don't think you're going to see real conflicts, just differences of maps.
What's driving this?
FCC is requiring that all the local exchange companies file exchange boundary maps by, I believe it's late April, early May. But if the commission gets involved and is going to file it on their behalf, then it's not due until mid-June or mid to late June.
And why do they want this information now?
It has to do with the, I believe it has to do with the reconstruction or reformation of the universal service funding and the new fund, what do they call it?
Connect America Fund,
CAF. I believe it has to do with that, and also an effort to minimize the any fraud or just like in Lifeline, they're trying to minimize the double counting and any fraud that there might be in that system.
It's a way back to the Telecom Act of what 96 is amended. There's more things that just keep trickling down from the FCC that they've taken jurisdiction on it, but they want the states to be involved in implementation, and it gets slippery sometimes.
And I guess,
just like the reduction of those intrastate and interstate tariffs that we had the hearings on last year, we've got one more coming up this year tied on. So there's a lot of things that have been laid out over the last decade that they want states to be involved in, even though we don't have direct jurisdiction.
And Pat, can you give me an example of how they'd use these boundaries? Like how the FCC, why they need it, how it would be used by them in their policies or their regulations?
Well, it'll be used by the, not only the FCC, but by USAC. When a company files for reimbursement for serving a customer, they identify the location of the customer, and the customer then will be, these maps will help the USAC and the FCC determine that customer, yes, indeed, is in that area. And each area can have a different reimbursement amount. So they'll identify the area and the reimbursement amount, mm-hmm. and it'll be a more sure approach to doing that and confirming that the right amounts are being paid out. That's one of the reasons, I'm sure. There could be others too.
And so you don't anticipate a lot of disputes, but will these companies in the areas where things are really growing out west not want to be taking, you know, marking off their territory for this is the area where we're going to have our customers? And this, you know, so I would anticipate that there would be some.
See, I'm not sure. I'm somewhere in the middle because I think there might be disputes because the dollars at play for the Connect America Fund will be tied back to these boundaries. So I think it might get controversial.
They're pretty well marked off. Okay. And where there's going to be differences, I don't think they're going to be disputes. It's going to be that one forgot to update their map. I've, over the years, never heard these companies fighting much over customers.
Territory.
Yeah.
Okay. But this first letter is just to send it up saying we're going to do it.
Correct.
But this will play out over the next. When's our deadline on this again?
It's for this letter?
No, this letter too, but
the mapping?
The mapping project being completed.
It's June. It'll come back to the commission and for approval and certification of the map before the data is sent to the FCC, and that'll be in June.
When would we know when there's conflicts that we'd have to schedule hearings on? That'd be like prior to June.
That we'll have to schedule hearings. Remember the meeting that we're talking about with this mapping group is May 29th.
Okay.
At that point in time, they'll make a presentation to us on whether there are any remaining discrepancies and how they might be resolved.
But if we hold, do we have to hold hearings on those potential, if there are any discrepancies that fall to our 20-day notice period and all those things?
If the companies disagree and can't come to a resolution, I think the commission has to be involved at that point. And so we aren't going to have much time.
That's what I'm getting at, is that we might have to schedule stuff early June and have hearings late June and make a decision by later June. This happened last year, too, with those interstate things, interstate rates.
Yep.
It all kind of just came tumbling down quickly.
It does. So okay. We'll have to work that out.
We'll just wait and see.
And one last question for me. How much does this cost, and are the companies paying for it, or are we paying for this?
This project is being done through funding that was provided in part for the broadband mapping project. And so the funding is through the grant. The state is picking up the cost of the consultant. The companies need to spend a little time putting together the data for the consultant and then resolving discrepancies. Shouldn't be too much time on the part of the companies.
So it's a nice service to them.
Yes.
Not costing them much.
They're all very willing to participate.
ITD really helped us out on this deal. Okay. All right. Well, send her off, Pat. That's all right. Okay. Challenges in siting. That was just me verifying with my colleagues that we get Ryan on board, that we'll figure out exactly what we want him to do to go talk to the counties. I think that's everybody agrees with that. It's not a bad use of his talent. More to follow with what exactly he's going to do. But
yeah, I guess, you know, yeah. I think we have to determine what issues we want him. You know, are we talking about noise? Are we talking about view shed? Are we talking about smells? Are we talking about traffic issues?
Getting people to the hearings.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just, I guess, all be thinking about what we'd want him to talk about. But I thought when Annette did that, it was very worthwhile. We had him go to the Association of Counties meetings. I went down a couple times, but it was really a good outreach, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good for him, too. But he's got to learn what we do here before he can go out and represent us, too. So,
yeah.
But, okay. All right, let's get right to scheduling. Mr. Crispin would like a work session regarding scale variances. What do you want to do with Andy?
I had originally this winter, when we started seeing these things coming in, thought that we needed to wait until after the legislative session because we'd be so busy, but you know, I don't know that that's really a necessity. And to tell you the truth, they just kind of keep pouring in. So, I think at the earliest opportunity we get, we ought to try and go through some of the main rules that we have that cause the variances to be requested.
Okay.
And look through and discuss them, and if we don't think there's an importance for having that rule, we can get rid of it, and if not, we can start enforcing it. And then the rest of the discussion that I'd like to have at that time is the rules that we do think are useful. What enforcement practices do we want to do? Do we want to just start rejecting any scale that doesn't meet all of our rules? Do we assess them a one time or an annual fee or what?
Do you need any? How much time do you need for the staff to do what you want to do before then?
I don't think we really have a lot to do, do we, Pat? To prepare, we kind of did that earlier, and
okay. If the commission's interested, I got a call this morning from another company that wants to do something, and they're willing to come and give the commission a presentation on installation of different types of installation of scales and what it, you know, like pit scales, pitless scales, slab scales. That might be really quite educational.
Well, okay, let's throw some dates out there. I mean, I'm pretty tied up till next Wednesday or Thursday, but then I'm pretty open those 2 days. No, you two.
I would be available next Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Julie?
I'm going to be on a COAL tour on Wednesday.
Okay.
So Thursday is open, the 18th.
Sure, how about Thursday at 10? That work for you?
Well, the idea that Pat just threw out about having a presentation on various scales, would we make that part of our meeting and have that before our meeting then?
Good.
You could, because it does involve something that is not included in our rules, and, you know, it would be a good session to learn about other types of scales that are included in our laws, other types of installation.
How long of a presentation do you think they would give us that would educate us before we decide which rules we want to throw out?
Well, there's a big process on rules, so this will be...
Right, wouldn't be the rulemaking, of course, but...
Except for that if we talked about a rule and said, you know, this isn't worth enforcing, I would imagine that we would then start the process of making the rule change, but we probably wouldn't do much to enforce that rule in the meantime, as opposed to a different one that we think is very important, and we're going to quit issuing variances on it.
Right, but I just don't want to get the cart too far ahead of the horse that we have a quick work session and decide what rules to go out. It might take more than one or two to walk this dog all the way through.
And I'm just thinking that this could be adjacent to the meeting, that the work session we're talking about. This could be like just before it or just after it and separate from it.
Well, do they need an hour or a few hours, or what do you think they would need?
I think an hour or two, an hour and a half would do it.
So could we like set out maybe a 3-hour block?
And 9 to noon.
9 to noon is fine by me.
Good for me.
Okay.
This was just a fleeting thought that we had when we had the conversation this morning. So I'll check and see if they can be here by then.
Okay. And if they, we'll just schedule 9 till 12, and whatever shows up, we'll work through. Okay. All right. Mr. Leon. Now my colleagues have not experienced scheduling with Jerry Leon, so be prepared. All right, Jerry, go ahead.
We got first to decide how many hearings we want and where we want them at.
Okay.
And I'm thinking we could get by with 2 hearings, one at Kildare and one at Williston. The route runs from Beulah over to Highway 85 and up to Williston and then over to Tioga.
Okay, how many miles is this bugger again, Jerry?
It's a 200-mile line.
And it starts at Beulah at which power plant again?
AVS.
AVS. And it ends at?
There's a substation going in at Tioga.
So absolutely. I guess my first gut is, Jerry, I don't know. I like the idea of 2 hearings, but 3 might be more appropriate just because of the distance it covers. But I'd see what Randy and Julie think about that.
And you're proposing Williston instead of Tioga?
No, Williston, yeah. Williston is like 50, 60 miles from Tioga.
Right.
And then go 50, 60 miles south from Williston. You might not. A little bit of a stretch getting from that area over to Kildare. I don't know where we want to go in between there.
Does it go to Williston, all the way to Williston?
Yeah.
Loops around the lake there, I'm sure.
It goes all the way to, it doesn't stop at Tioga. I thought you said this stopped at Tioga.
Tioga is east of, or west of Williston?
No.
No, east of Williston, I mean. So it goes up to Williston and then takes a right turn, or a turn towards the east to Tioga.
Oh, it goes that way and over. Oh, I see.
Yeah, they just basically run up Beulah and loop around the lake and then come back up to Tioga.
Yes.
You know, if this were a small little pipeline that probably wasn't going to be too controversial,
no,
I would think that that would be fine. But I think we're going to have probably a pretty good turnout for these meetings, speaking as someone who's never been involved with it, but I would just imagine there's going to be quite a bit of turnout. Only so many people can talk in a reasonable length meeting. I think we need to have one in Watford City, too.
Okay. You want me to find someplace between Williston and Tioga?
Mm. How far is that?
Well, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. No. Not Williston and Tioga. Between Williston and Kildare?
Well, I was just thinking of the communities because we do the anchor points. Really the only places to have hearings are probably Tioga itself. Here comes Scott. Tioga itself, and then you go to Williston, and you got Watford City, Kildare, and then what's east of Kildare? Would it be worthwhile to have a hearing in Beulah? Yeah. So if we did like Beulah, Watford City, and maybe Tioga? I mean, I just threw that out there, but if we're going to do the anchor points, you could do something in Beulah. And then you do the next. So the farthest somebody would have to drive would be 100 miles, less than that probably.
If you're up for doing that, what if I bounce that by the company and see what's and work with Scott and see what we can do for some locations and stuff?
Okay.
And get some dates today.
Okay. Because the dates are the big thing to fence off our time, I think, for right now.
So if we want to go that way, we're going to need three dates. How about the 19th, 20th, and 21st of August?
I think that's a good starting point to look at, Jerry. If I remember correctly, though, when we did those Minn Kota hearings, we needed a day to recoup just because they were all-day hearings and we needed to position ourselves to the next one. So, but anyway, let's figure out. So they want to do them in August, I guess, is the point, Jerry?
The company had stuff going on up till the 19th, so and then I looked at our schedule through the 19th and the 26th in those 2 weeks, and we've got a hearing on the 27th.
We got that rate case.
Yep.
Is it possible to go into September?
Yeah.
I would prefer to do that than cram it in at the end this summer.
Oh, I think you're right. They can't go before. Why can't we go earlier?
They're not going to be totally ready to go earlier, and then they had some vacations and stuff going on in August, so they pushed it out to the 19th.
All right. Well, and I think I agree with Julie that I think the biggest thing for me is that the next week we have a rate case that's a big rate case. And so I don't want to be out that whole week before the rate case. Even though it is summer, I don't think that's I think it's being around the week for a rate case.
Do you want to do anything that week before the rate case?
Well, we could maybe do one hearing. I mean, I think that's where we staggered them a little bit, that if they're, because it was nice that we did the Minn Kota, we did one, and we had like 3-4 days off, and we did the second, and then we had 3-4 days off because the company briefed individual parts of the route at each hearing. And there was some things like we the first hearing is probably the most intense because we ask all these questions. And by spreading it out a little bit, they can then come back in the second and third hearings and answer those questions. So if we have the first hearing that week of August, just one day,
okay,
then we could get a lot on the table early that could help them tweak some of the stuff they might do later in September.
So
I anticipate being a little overwhelmed by the rate case, so I would prefer, if it's not a real strong urge by the company to do some in August, I'd prefer to do these in September.
Okay.
To wait until.
Like to do them all in September?
Mm-hmm. Unless the company is, anxious. If we're holding things up, then I don't want to hold things up, but if it's not.
I don't think we're holding things up. This line's going to be years in the making.
Yeah, then I would, if it doesn't matter that much, it would be more comfortable for my schedule to wait until September.
All right.
It also gets it out of harvest season for those farmers if we.
That was something we did talk about when we were picking August, was to try and stay out of the harvest season. We ran into that trouble with Minn Kota.
And this year there doesn't look like any prospects for early seeding or harvest. So,
okay.
Should we try and get it in right after the rate case?
That's fine with me, Julie and Randy.
These would be meetings that would be all day?
Yes. The we'll open them up at probably 9 o'clock, and we'll start in, and the company will give their testimony. And the company will have to decide how they're going to do it. But like I said, last time they broke it up into segments depending where the hearing was at. That seems to be a pretty good way. And then the public input is where we'll have potentially the most time. We have to block off the whole day. And if we get done early, we just come home. But if we, but we'll go until we're done, because we were there till 8 o'clock at night, a couple of them.
Are you led? Are you kind of wed to wanting to do it at Beulah then? I'm wondering if Kildare is more of a, it puts people driving from Beulah to Kildare. And then if you're going to have the next one in Watford City, you're, if there's people in the middle of
I think
area,
Beulah, Watford City, Beulah, Watford City, Tioga is a good mix.
Okay.
What I think. Because you're at the anchor points and Watford City's kind of between everywhere. We can get in and out of Watford City pretty easy.
Williston would be more of a magnet, but I guess I'd like the company and you guys to come up with a schedule and locations, and we can look at what makes most sense for getting the most people impacted by the area.
That's fair.
You know, where the locations make the most sense. But I don't have a map even to see where this thing goes, so it's hard to comment on locations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll tell them three hearings. And
yeah, three hearings and see what they come back with. That's fair. Okay, we're back to the dates, Jerry. So,
if we look at that first week in September, is that good?
For me, everything's wide open there. Well, I mean, we just got to pick dates. Do you want to go the 4th and 5th for two hearings and then have the following one the 10th? Okay. All right. So do we want to do the 4th and the 5th and the 12th? I like having that third hearing separated because then we can tie up any loose ends.
Good idea.
Then if we're going to have three, I think that should be the one in the middle.
Well, sure. Everybody can come back to it.
If you're on either end and you missed it or you've heard something in the news now. It's still not just real far to get to the last one.
Okay. That's a good idea. So does that work for everyone, 4th, 5th, 12th?
Yep.
Those work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that...
So we'll pencil them in for 4th, 5th, and 12th, and if those days don't work for the company, we'll have to move them around again?
Well, I think that, yeah, could get to that quickly, but I mean, the 3rd and 6th are open for me too, and so are the 9th and the 13th. So I got flexibility this far out, and you guys probably do too. It's just I just threw those out there.
So I'll bring it back on next admin to confirm it.
Well, I think if you get dates from them, let's do it sooner than later so we can at least get our calendars blocked off. We don't need to wait 2 weeks for that. If you talk to them and they say okay, then let's put it down.
Okay. I'll call these dates those unless there's a problem.
As you're working on, if you run into a problem with them and you're trying to fish for another date, I'll just tell you the 10th and the 11th are the days during those 2 weeks that I have a conflict.
That work for everybody?
No, they don't work for
those everybody. Are the ones I have a conflict on.
Okay. The 10th and 11th doesn't work for Julie, right?
No, for Randy.
For Randy.
What?
I can't do the 10th or 11th.
Oh, can't do them. Sorry.
So basically, Jerry, you got the 3rd through the 6th, I think we can work with, and we could work with the, what did you say, the
12th, 13th, or 9th?
Yeah, the 12th and the 13th and 9th. So you got anything those 2 weeks except the 10th and the 11th, Jerry.
Okay.
Let's just get them dialed in. And Scott can find us a ride up there and those things. Okay, anything else, Jerry?
And those are 9 to 5, is that what it's going to be, Commissioner?
Well, it won't be just 9 till done.
Okay.
Jerry, you will let me know the dates as soon as possible?
Yeah.
Julie, we're trying.
If you'd like to put 4, 5, and 12 in, and we can change them if we need to.
I can do that, but...
Okay, it doesn't...
As soon as you let me know.
Okay. I'll just bring it back next week for sure.
Okay. Let's try to get the Mitchell's feeds scheduled, and Julie's got to get out of here. We can do the case management another one later. That's not that pressing. What do you have for Mitchell feeds, Sue?
We need to schedule a work session to discuss the claims and where we're going to go from here.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. How quick do you want to do it?
What do you have available? I'm going to be out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think you, Commissioner, did you say that you were not available until Thursday or Friday of next week?
Yep. Next, I'm available Wednesday or Thursday next week.
And Wednesday won't work for me, so Thursday or Friday?
Thursday afternoon? Is that, what is that, the 18th?
Thursday, we're locked up 9 to...
To the morning, right?
Noon, right?
How about Thursday afternoon?
Sure.
Andy?
Yeah, let's leave ourselves a little bit of time in there to, in case any last-minute stuff comes up we want to prep for, but if we could hold it at 2:30, something like that? Or?
Yeah, that's fine. 2:30? Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Did you have another question? I interrupted with you, right?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's hold the two scheduling for the next two to the next meeting, and then, because Julie's got to get out of here, right?
Yeah, well, they could be quick. If we can find one day, we can put them back-to-back or something.
Okay. And these are going to be way out there anyway.
Yeah, like that next week?
I was even thinking farther out, Julie. I was thinking like June.
Oh, I'd like to get that work session on case management sooner than that.
Okay, pick a date that works for you, and we'll go with it.
Well, do we want to look at the...
April's,
can we at least be in May?
April's bad, yeah.
April's full.
How about the 9th? No. 6th? May 6th?
Oh, that doesn't work for me. Wind conference. The 9th worked, though.
The morning of the 9th?
Works for me.
Good.
Okay, say like 9.
Perfect. May 9th at 9. Beautiful.
And that's the?
The work session of case management.
Yeah.
And then?
Open case.
The 9th at 9 o'clock.
Right. Yep.
And the open case review, let's put that a little bit. At least 2 more weeks later.
Yeah, that next week I'm in New Mexico.
The 23rd of May?
13th to the 17th.
How about the
23rd? For one of those training things.
Okay.
So what about the 28th?
That works for me.
Morning, like 9?
Andy?
Okay,
there we have it.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Julie. With that, we'll close the administration portion of the meeting.